Chapter 37. Jesse drove Lisa to the station. Together they went inside. After settling her in the conference room, he went looking for Molly. When he found her, he told her what had happened. He asked her to sit with Lisa, to take down her story. He wanted the names of each of the Lincoln Village girls. He also asked her to check with suitcase to see if the girl's father had been found. He walked with her to the conference room. On the way, Molly mentioned that Rich Bauer had phoned. And, he said, two more Hondas were stolen. Not a good sign. I thought you might say that. Look after Lisa. She needs some TLC. I don't remember administering TLC as being part of the job description. You don't fool me, Jesse said. I don't fool you how? You're a softy. Mush. Mush? You heard me. That's not how I like to think of myself. How do you like to think of yourself? Hard. Tough. Terrifying. Works for me, Jesse said. And the mush? Side dish. Just so we don't confuse a side dish with the main course, she said, as she went into the conference room. Jesse poured some coffee. He phoned Dr. Phyllis Cantor, a child psychologist who lived in Paradise. He told her what had happened and asked if she might interview Lisa. She agreed to stop by the station and speak with her. He stuck his head in the conference room. He explained to Lisa that Dr. Cantor would be stopping by. He said he would see her later. He left the station and headed for his cruiser, which was parked in its designated spot behind the building. He only noticed the movement out of the corner of his eye. A man was rapidly approaching Jesse from behind a double-parked car. He was holding a pistol. Jesse dove to the ground just as the man fired. He pulled his pistol from its holster. It was in his hand with the safety off before he hit the ground. He got off two quick shots, the first of which struck his assailant in the chest. Jesse rolled into a sitting position and fired three more times. The double-parked sedan sped away, tires screeching. Jesse fired at it. Then he stood, and with his pistol extended, walked toward the man lying on the ground. He knelt beside him and felt for a pulse. There was none. Jesse holstered his pistol just as Suitcase and Steve Lesnick burst from the station house, their service weapons in their hands. Jesse signaled to them that there was no longer a threat. They put their weapons away. See if he has ID on him, Jesse said to Suitcase. To Steve Lesnick, he said, there's a late-model sedan which just left the parking lot in a big hurry. I think it was a Buick. I couldn't get the license. Maybe there's someone who can track it. Suitcase searched the body. Lesnick reached for his cell phone. Nothing, Jesse, Suitcase said. Not even a wallet. What do you make of it? Mob hit, Jesse said. Secure the scene. Call for a CSI unit. Let me know if anyone spots the getaway vehicle. As Jesse walked back to the station, the two officers looked at each other. I was right, Lesnick said. About what? Suitcase said. About Jesse, Lesnick said. What about Jesse? Suitcase said. He didn't even flinch. It's like he's got ice water for blood. Tell me something I don't know, Suitcase said. Once inside, Jesse took a couple of deep breaths. He realized how narrowly he had escaped being shot. He knew the hit was the work of John Lombardo. Jesse reached for the phone and called Gino Fish. You're a dime, Gino said. Remember our discussion about neutrality? I'm listening, Gino said. We need to revisit the subject. Something personal? We need to talk. I shall look forward to it, Jesse Stone, Gino said. When Phyllis Cantor had finished interviewing Lisa Barry, she stuck her head into Jesse's office. She was a pleasant-looking woman of indeterminate age. Her mouth curled with a hint of a smile. Her rich brown eyes sparkled with intelligence. He stood to greet her. Phyllis, he said. Hello, Jesse, she said. How's Lisa? Better than I would have expected. She's motivated by anger, very likely misplaced, however. Meaning? May I speak shrink talk? Only if you'll provide a running translation, Jesse said. Dr. Cantor smiled. Her anger is directed at her mother for having died and abandoned her. She hasn't dealt with that anger, nor with her grief either. I'd like to see her some more. I can help her. When I see her father, I'll talk to him about it, Jesse said. He's not picking up his cell. I'm going to track him down. The father may very well be an emotional cretin. You need to make certain he doesn't stand in the way. You'll have to be at your persuasive best. One emotional cretin to another, Jesse said. I didn't want to bring it up, Dr. Cantor said. In the late afternoon, Jesse drove Lisa to her father's office. She had mentioned that he rarely came home until late, sometimes even after she had gone to bed. How did you like Dr. Cantor? Jesse said.
She's all right, Lisa said.
What did you talk about?
Stuff.
Do you want to tell me?
Not really.
Do you want to see her again?
Yes. Maybe. Yes.
So, you liked her?
She was all right, Lisa said.
They arrived at Leonard Berry's office, which was located in a small warehouse on the outskirts of town. Berry was involved in some sort of import-export enterprise. A panel truck with his name painted on it was parked out front. Lisa led the way inside.
What are you doing here? Her father said when he saw her. Who's this?
Jesse Stone, Jesse said. Paradise Chief of Police.
I heard of you, Leonard Berry said. What can I do for you?
He was looking at Lisa, who was looking at the floor. Jesse told him everything that had transpired at the school. He also mentioned Dr. Cantor.
Is Lisa under arrest? Mr. Berry said.
No, Jesse said.
Because?
Because arresting her wouldn't be the right thing to do. Lisa has been the victim of considerable abuse. What she did in self-defense.
So what do you want from me?
Parental responsibility. Lisa was sitting quietly looking at her father, listening. Her father occasionally looked at her.
You think I'm not a responsible parent, Leonard Berry said.
This incident might be an indicator.
I work my ass off so that she can have what she needs.
What she needs is you involved in her life, Jesse said.
I am involved in her life.
Maybe, maybe not. Did you know she was dealing with some serious issues?
She never said anything.
Perhaps she never had the chance.
What's that supposed to mean?
If you're not around to listen, how can she tell you anything? Responsible parenting means being present and available, being attuned to all of the signals. Mr. Berry didn't say anything. Lisa showed up at school today with your pistol, Jesse said. Did you know she had it? That she not only threatened the principal's life with it, but her own life as well? That's a big signal to have missed. Mr. Berry looked down. Lisa is still reeling from the loss of her mother, which is trauma enough. It also seems as if she's lost her father as well. Something's not right here. Mr. Berry didn't say anything. Perhaps you could talk with her about what's been going on in her life, Jesse said, and maybe pay close attention to what she has to say. There's nothing more important for either of you. Mr. Berry looked up. Jesse stood. I'm going to have a talk with the Lincoln Village girls tomorrow, he said.
You are? Lisa said.
I am.
Wow, she said.